So now let me ask you that question again. Are there any wonders in your life? We all have them. I still have some wonders in my life. And I was thinking about that this week, and I began to think, I wondered if there were any spiritual wonders in our lives. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Do you ever wonder if that's really true? I mean, especially when you're going through a mess, whatever it might be, do you ever really wonder if God's really going to work this out for good? Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Do you ever wonder if you really can do all things? Matter of fact, do you wonder if you can do that one thing that God has asked you to do? Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." But do you ever wonder if God can really do anything? We don't want to admit it, do we? It seems unspiritual to admit it, but sometimes we wonder. Spiritually, even, we wonder about things. Sometimes you read a passage of Scripture and you wonder, can that really be right? Will it really work? Is that really true? We read about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and sometimes it's not even necessarily a wonder of doubt, but sometimes I wonder, did He really do that? It seems so impossible. There are some things that we have to overcome to really be faithful and obedient to God. And the only way to know whether or not God will work all things for our good, and whether or not we can do all things or that one thing, and whether or not God can really do everything, the only way to really know that and to not wonder about it is to be faithful and obedient to God. But there are some things that are problems for us sometimes in our faithfulness and our obedience, and especially in being consistent. Persistent in our obedience. And there's a man in the Scripture in 2 Kings chapter 5 that shows us some of these things. And so I want to read his story. You're familiar with it. You've heard it. You've heard it taught in Sunday school. If you've been in Sunday school very often, you've heard preachers preach on it. Probably heard me preach on it before. I think I've used this passage before. I didn't look up to see when it was. But 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was made clean. The first thing that Naaman had to overcome was his plan. He had a plan about how he was going to be healed. It's revealed in Scripture. The first part of his plan, it was that he planned to pay for his healing. Verse 5 says that he brought 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. That is 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, in addition to the 10 changes of clothing, which I'm sure were the finest that money could buy. He planned to pay for his healing. That's why he brought the stuff. He planned to pay because that's what you did. You go to the doctor, you pay. You go to the doctor, you pay. In Old Testament times, in ancient times, even among the people of Israel, if you went to the prophet, you brought an offering. You paid if you went to the prophet. Naaman knew that. So part of his plan for healing was, I'll pay. He also had a plan for the actual moment of his healing. Look at verse 11. Naaman said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Naaman planned on some sort of a ceremony. Now listen, Naaman was a big dude. He was an important guy. He was the captain of the Syrian army. He was held in honor by the king of Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. That means a couple of things. He was experienced and victorious in battle. It also meant he was wealthy. We know that by the money that he brought to pay for the healing. He was well known. He was prominent. He was on the who's who list in Syria. He was an important person. And he thought his plan was for there to be a big deal made out of his healing. He probably thought the prophet would come to the capital city, to the palace, wherever the king was. He probably thought there would be trumpets sounding and a big crowd gathered. He said, well, at least I thought he would come out, the prophet would come out, and stand and call upon his God and make a big deal out of it and lay his hands over on the place of leprosy and heal me. I thought it would be a big deal. That didn't happen. Elisha didn't even come outside and see him. He sent a servant with a message. Go wash in the Jordan River seven times. Naaman's plan and God's plan were not the same. They really weren't even close. And so that was a problem for Naaman. And I have to think that somewhere when his plan failed, he began to wonder if this was going to work at all. You know, if things don't go the way I think they ought to go, they probably just aren't going to work. Don't we do the same thing? We plan our life, don't we? You plan your life. Oh, you say, oh, no, I don't make any plans. Come on, we plan. We plan when we're young. We plan what we're going to do in the summer when school's out. Well, every day I'm going to sleep in. That's a plan. Or I'm going to ride my bike every day. That's a plan. And now, well, I'm going to play on the computer all day long. We plan whether or not to go to college, and if so, where? We plan whether or not to get married, and if so, to whom? We plan the job, the career that we want to have. We plan the salary that we're going to make. If you go out to the high school and any time that there's a coronation or something, and they ask the kids for their plans, everybody plans to make some money. We plan how long we're going to live in the city we're in or the house we're going to buy. We plan all that. We plan for our retirement. And we plan where we will retire. We make plans. And we want things to go our way because we think our plan is right. That's why we made it that way. But God's plan is almost always different from our plan. Have you noticed that? I plan to retire at 45. I was about 42 or so when God called me into the ministry. Funny thing, I didn't get to retire at 45. But we make our plans and we're the captain of our own ship, right? I'm going to do things my way. It's my plan and it's the right way. And when God's plan differs from our plan, we wonder if God's plan is really the best. We wonder if God knows that I already made a plan. We would really rather God just rubber stamp our plan as to tell us what His is, especially if it's different. So sometimes, oftentimes, in order to be faithful and in order to be persistently obedient to God, we have to change our plan. And we have to go with God's plan. The next thing that Naaman had to overcome was his pride. When Elisha didn't come out to see him in person, and when he didn't make a big show of his healing, Naaman got angry. His pride kicked in, and he got angry. Verse 11 says, "But Naaman was wroth," that means angry, "and went away." Verse 12 says, Naaman said, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. His pride took over. And things didn't go the way he thought they ought to go. He was not the center of attention of the ceremony. Somehow this was supposed to be about God, not about Naaman, and he didn't like that, and he got angry. Pride came into the picture, and he got angry. He wasn't about to go down to the Jordan River. It was dirty. That's what he said. It was dirty. Beneath the dignity of a man like Naaman to dip in the Jordan River. And especially if there's not going to be an audience. I'm sure not going to go and dip in the waters of Jordan in obscurity with nobody looking on. If I'm going to dip in any waters, Naaman said, I'm going home. Abana and Pharpar are far better, cleaner, nicer waters than the Jordan River. I'll go home. At home, listen, the news media will come out. They'll make a big deal out of it. The television and the newspapers and the people with their cameras will take pictures, you know, because this is the healing of Naaman. He's a big deal in Syria. It'll be a big production. If I'm going to do it, that's where I'm going to do it. Because this is about me. This is my plan. This is my problem. This is my healing. And I want there to be a big deal made out of it because of who I am. Boy, we let pride get in the way of so much, don't we? Really. We won't admit we're wrong because we're too proud. We won't admit our sin because we're too proud. We won't do what God wants us to do because we're too proud. We won't mend fences with family and friends because we're too proud. Oh, we got a million and one excuses, don't we? Well, it's this or that. It's just pride. Naaman got angry because he was proud, and it says that he turned and left in a rage. And then something happened that changed everything. Verse 13. His servants came to Naaman. You see, Naaman was a good guy. His servants cared about him. They loved him. Even this little servant girl from Israel must have loved him. She wouldn't have told about the prophet that maybe could heal him if she hadn't cared about him. So his servants came to him in verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" They said, listen, if he would have asked you for all of the money that you brought and all the clothes that you brought and asked you to go back and get more and pay more, you would have done it. If he would have asked you to do some great work to defeat some nation, defeat the enemies of Israel, you would have done it. Why not do the simple thing? Why not go to the Jordan River and dip seven times? And then if you would allow me to speculate just a little bit, maybe one of the servants said, "Don't you wonder if it'll work?" Not a wonder of doubt, but a wonder of curiosity. Aren't you curious? Don't you wonder enough to even try it? We don't want to admit our plan doesn't work. We don't want to admit God's way might be the best way. But honestly, sometimes don't you wonder? I mean, don't you wonder if the Bible really is the truth and this really is God's plan and it really is going to work the way God says it's going to work? Don't you wonder if maybe I ought to just do what He says? I mean, isn't there some curiosity about us, enough curiosity about us to make us think, well, I think I'll try it. Apparently there was for Naaman. Apparently after his servants talked to him, he began to wonder. And the only way for Naaman to know if it would work, and the only way for us to know if God's way will work, is to try it, is to be obedient, is to jump out of the airplane. That brings us then to Naaman's persistence. You need to know that to fully appreciate the plan of God and to fully experience the blessings of God, we must be persistent in our obedience to God. We like to start and not finish, don't we? We like to give it a try for a while, and if it doesn't work immediately, well, I don't have time to mess with that. We have to be persistent. Naaman is proof of persistence. Elisha told him through his messenger, through his servant, Elisha said, I want you to go to the Jordan River, and I want you to wash 7 times. I want you to dip 7 times into the Jordan River. Would you try to imagine the scene with me? I can picture this scene in my head. You come whatever river you want to imagine, and here comes Naaman to the river, to the bank of the river of the Jordan. He's got his chariot, he's got his horses, he's got on his best clothes, he's proud, and he pulls up to this dirty Jordan River, and he still thinks it's dirty. We do that too, don't we? I'll try it, God, but I don't think so. I'll try it, but I have my doubts. I'll try it, but I really wonder. But, you know, you said do it. I think that's kind of where Naaman was. When he went down into the water, he was a leper. When he dipped the first time and he came back up, he was still a leper. And you know what I think he did? I think he looked. Wouldn't you? If you were told, if the prophet told you, listen, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be made clean. After I dipped the first time, I'd be checking. And I think he checked and I think everything was the same. So he dipped again and he came back up and everything was the same. And maybe somewhere in the back of his mind, something kicked in. He thought, I knew this wouldn't work. So he dipped the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. And after every time he checked and after every time, it was the same. I don't think the leprosy began to diminish. I think it was the same every time. And probably after the fourth or fifth time, he probably thought, all I'm doing is getting dirty in this old dirty water. I wonder if this is really going to work. But he wondered enough, he was curious enough that he dipped the sixth time. And he came up the sixth time and he checked again and he was still a leper. No change. Now what would have happened if Naaman would have quit after the sixth dip? 6 times, no change. He could have. He could have not gone to start with. Nobody forced him to. He could have quit after the sixth dip. Well, he thought, well, I knew this wouldn't work. I'm embarrassing myself in front of my servants. Oh, they must think I'm a pathetic sight down in this old dirty Jordan River. I've had enough of this. I'm just wet. I've ruined my good clothes. He could have gotten angry. He could have been disappointed. 6 dips and no change. And he could have just quit. He could have come up out of the water and he would have still been a leper. But Naaman was persistent and he dipped the 7th time. And when he came up from the 7th dip, the Bible says that his skin was like a baby's. He was healed because he was persistent in his obedience to God. Christian, do you know what we do? You know what I do? You know what I suppose every Christian has done at some time in our lives? We stop just short of God's blessings. We dip the 6th time and nothing has changed. and we throw up our hands in despair, we throw up our hands in anger, we throw up our hands in pride or embarrassment, and we quit, and we stop just short, and we pull up out of the river, and we're still a leper. When if we would have just dipped one more time, the blessings would have come. The direction would have come. The healing would have come. The grace would have come. The power would have come. The understanding would have come because we were persistent in our obedience to God. Listen, in order to understand God's plan and fully enjoy God's blessings, we must be persistent in our obedience to Him. I know after the fourth or the fifth or the sixth time, it seems like it's futile. It seems like nothing is happening, but dip one more time. God is faithful. When we are faithful to Him, He is always faithful to us. You're discouraged this morning? Struggling this morning? Been discouraged? Been struggling for a long time? Seems useless? Some out there this morning have physical ailments that you've had for years and years and years, and it seems like nothing's happening. Some of you this morning are struggling with things in the home. Sometimes maybe marital problems, family problems, financial problems, problems on the job, problems at school. You've struggled for years. You've dipped six times and nothing has changed. Dip one more time. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to have a song of invitation. Be as quiet as you can for just one more moment. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're not a Christian and you're wondering, will God really forgive my sin? The only way to know is to ask. Will you do that this morning? Christian, you're wondering, can God really make something good out of this? The only way to know is to be faithful and obedient. You need help. You need strength. You need salvation. You come this morning while we sing.